Cevdet Erek is an artist and musician living in Istanbul. He combines his twofold interest in architecture and sound into immersive installations. He creates new environments and auditory spaces in which the viewer is asked to unravel the multi-layered narration he conceives by weaving rhythms and site specificity. He's representing Turkey at the 57th Art Biennale in Venice, where he conceived a massive installation made of wooden bleachers and wire fences, a binary space, enclosed and open, a 35-channel sound wall. Compared to past works we had the chance to experience in Marrakesh and in Rome, where he had worked by subtraction or by creating a space through a concentration of sound, DIN is a much more impressive architectural intervention.
The one in Marrakesh was called Sound Courtyard Ornamentation with how many sounding dots? Courtyard Ornamentation with 8 sounding dots and the prison, it was called. And then there I was keeping on with what I was doing with the idea of using sounds to make architectural ornamentation. In Maxi, it was a continuation of the series Room of Rhythms, which I started officially in Documenta, which was mostly on the connection of architecture there, mostly modern architecture, and beat, rhythms, history, timelines, chronology, and using sounds and architecture to put them all in the single plane, on a single surface, let's say, rhythms in general. And mostly rhythms from every day, but there in Kassel, as we were surrounded by a real modern environment, let's say, post-war modern environment, and Documenta as a post-war event, not like Venice Biennale, pre-wars event, let's say. Yeah, here we really have, compared to their architecture, and I'm very happy with that, I have to say. I'm not gonna complain of that, because even though I'm quite working a lot with sounds, but I'm working with space continuously, built or not built, imagined or imitated, whatever. But here, we had to have some more concrete architecture. Why? Because of the foundations of the ideas of the work, which is, very simply, there's a pavilion, Turkish pavilion, which is not a single building like the pavilions in Giardini. In a way, it's a imaginary pavilion, a rented place for some decades, between the pavilions of other countries. Here, Peru, South Africa, Singapore, which is quite fun to have just temporarily different neighbors. Just for once, it's good not to have Iran or Iraq or Syria or Greece, even though I'm kind of quite interested in them. Anyways, so there, a very basic idea to leave the route between them open, not to force anybody to see our work. And also to say that if you're in a hurry, a fast marathon runner, a biennial visitor, or someone who travels in between countries anyways, just keep on going. So we're not forcing anybody to make a route. But also we still want to have some kind of continuity over that transit passage too. On that moment I said, okay, we keep on with the ornamentation idea because I'm not satisfied with that yet. So here we have kind of an abstracted facade, ornamented with sound, on that international platform, and you go there with a kind of a dramatical, elevated kind of staircases, but then to help the people with wheels, the disabled or the baby and mother, we have ramps, and ramps are sampled from Venice, because on the bridges they didn't have these ramps until the marathon, and then they kept them, it's amazing. So these are kind of foundations of the work. But then, this foundation already deserves architecture. But then architecture started being shaped according to mostly regulations. What are these regulations? You cannot have more than 500 kilograms in 1 square meter. So they told me, if you want to pass over a platform, you have to have people like 5 by 5 or 10 by 10. I said, no, not in my work. I cannot put 2 people there and then say, can you wait? We don't do this kind of work.
Because of this regulation, Erek worked hand by hand with engineers and architects to design a structure that could host as many people as possible.
So, yes, it's big. For me, it's a miracle, actually, to have this here. But I think it fits here as well.
The access to the Turkish pavilion is rather a passage. A diplomatic passage, we could say. And while the installation recalls the ruins of an ancient Greek temple, a football stadium, a jail, an arena, the many bridges in Venice, Erak hesitates to pave the way towards any exclusive interpretation, and he prefers to lose the control over this associative game.
Thanks to the ethics of architectural education, even though this work is just understood to praise an artist, this work is for made for people to make associations, or going back to their memory, or come back to the memory of this space later on a staircase or something. So please, if you can make associations, then we make a dialogue. Otherwise, I just tell you stories, like just like millions of men talking, or women, doesn't man means like the. So please make some associations and then I can comment or I can learn.
From where we were sitting, we could see an enclosed space, chained shut. A stadium, I said.
Kurva. The title of the work in Max Ivas, A Room of Rhythms, Kurva. Because it's a curved place, but for years I was researching kurvas. Because I was, for years, a fan in the Fenerbahçe Stadium, and I was a drummer as well. And for me that was the biggest, one of the biggest aesthetics in the world because of flags, but I'm talking about 80s, as a boy, of course. So yeah, I mean, if you wouldn't make the association with a football stadium, and many people cannot, I would be surprised normally, someone coming from an urban background. And you said that I'm from Italy, and then suddenly, I'm Turkey. But then someone could come, I'm from Argentina. And the other person would come, I'm from Germany, because more or less all these post-blah-blah-whatever countries have this stadium culture. And yesterday, a guy from Cameroon, he just got me because they have it huge there also. And I described the story of how, when I was a kid, someone who spent all his best times of his childhood just next to the Fenerbahçe Stadium, when we were kids, we also had this big derby. Then all the stadium was, all the tribunes was divided into two. So for me as a kid, that was one of the most beautiful things in the world, to have that match. Yellow, dark blue, yellow, red, or whatever. So that's aesthetics. But that was interesting that the supporters of the teams were in the same tribunes. Of course, some policemen would be in between. But before, even the generations before us, they said that they were all together. That was not divided. Then they became like nations fighting. Just like the drummer in the Zang Tum Tum, the drummer in the battlefield scene. It comes from a Lepanto painting. Then they put fences in between these supporters. Then they made the neighboring team. Neighboring team is just from another part in the same city. A smaller tribune. And then fences. Fences in the top as well. And then a few years ago they decided, okay, no neighboring team, because it became so big problem. If you make the part smaller, then only 1,000 or 2,000 maniacs go there. You can imagine, not the most. Now you know what I'm talking about. And then they just banned it. So even in my not super long life, I witnessed that. And I always thought that that's directly connected to violence happening everywhere in the society and in the state or something. So when dividing this place, this platform, and after having this dramatical elevation on a sound decorated facade, I said, okay, let's block the other part. And I was keeping studying amphitheaters, of course, stadiums. I was coming on my way from Pompeii, from David Gilmour concert, just because I was there 20 years ago, Pink Floyd Pompeii.
We were saying a binary space made of enclosures and open spaces, movement and stasis.
The existence of something and the lack of something, which I work a lot, actually. Half of a rectangle black, half of a rectangle white. Yeah.
And that's what makes the simplest digital beat, the simplest sound beat.
10101010110110, and then that rhythm is actually tak tak ta ta tak tak ta ta. That's also just like you have a grid, and then even though it's such ornamental and one of the most bitchy beats in the world, which is normally, I just reduce it to the max, like kind of on a constant tempo here, which is 60 BPM. Because a second is quite a well-known scale for all of us. We all use that. Just like I called the guitarist of Necropsy, one of my best friends, and I said, Jam, could you play me a chin 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 with a mute distortion guitar, just like we did in when we were kids, trash. I defined the aesthetics to him, and he knows what I'm talking about. He said, hey man, come on, you can do that. It's very simple without, because I said, no melody, please, just chick, 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 chick. I said, no man, I'm asking to you, to the guitarist of my band, to make that, because that's your craft. Did you hear that? And sorry, I'm passing from subject to subject, but there I said, okay, I'm the craftsman of this sound ornamentation, so I have to do it according to the aesthetics of mine, and then to present to people. So there, I have the same beat with chin 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 with my voice, and then with the guitar, which is, for many people, if you're not coming from that music culture, they don't get that it's a guitar, it just becomes, gets lost, because it's mixed with the other ones as well. Sorry, I'm just squeezing some more information into the...
35 channel sound installation, a set of super slick loudspeakers overlook the space, playing a mix of sound bits, words, syllables, whispers and murmurs. It's what Erek describes as sound ornamentation, but it's not fully abstract this time. There is a message, there is space for a speech.
I went to Milano to see the original of Zhang Tum Tum, and I read the Italian with English translation, finally, because I was curious, because it's also such a strange figure, a fascist, but at the same time reporting a war between Bulgarians and Ottomans. And through Western art history, we receive the text, but for the other part, for the Ottoman part, we have typical national literature mostly. Then, it reminds you of sound, poetry, blah, 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 but I think these things are gonna live forever. No period can limit sound, poetry, or imitation of sounds. But then it's all super important to remember what people did in the history, at least in his short history of art. And then I just realized that these guys more or less did many of the things already. But then we're doing some other things. We are not going to a war and reporting and praising a war. But I'm using Zhang Tum Tum directly, sampling the word, to represent war. It's amazing to think these kind of like, what am I doing which is related to that and what not? And the moment that you divide a name to its, how do you say, Cevdet, erection, to its syllables, and the moment that you put them in rhythm with some forms, yeah, it goes. It could go to futurism, constructivism. But for me, not for kitsch, not for fun, not for praising also, just because it has some connections, and not to escape from that as well, because I'm working on these things. And for me, it's super important that I'm, in that sense, I'm doing it in Istanbul, with visits to Italy. Then I came here, making meetings with the architects, and then I went for the first time to the palace on San Marco. And then I saw these paintings, and then I was just looking at them as, like war paintings that I saw in childhood. And then I saw the red flag with the crescent and the star again, I was like, wow. And then, of course, Venetians fighting with Ottomans. And then Lepanto, I didn't remember Lepanto with its name, because we have another name for that. Then I realized how Lepanto is super important in the history of an area. That night I was in Google, I saw all these celebrations in Spain, in Italy. Wow, Lepanto. I just realized that it's more or less could comparable to Turks celebrating taking off Constantinople or something, kind of, but also really made bigger than it is. I'm doing my best to have lots of short visits, rememberings to history, and come back, remembering. Because I have to say, I'm more into history than theory, in life or in art.
The occasion was important enough to use his own voice.
Strange, but I like it, I have to say. Because that's a new step for me in my idiotic research in sound ornamentation architecture. Because sound is such a medium, and then at the moment now we're using it to communicate with words, no? In a common language, which is English now. So if you imagine ornamentations of sound, and if you are in dialogue with the visual ornamentation, then again, as an idiot, you would think, okay, then, to repeat myself, then you would think, okay, then what would be the text? And then it has to be speech, and it's so big fun, because you can just say Zhang Tum Tum in your installation.
Let's try to delve into the idea of sound ornamentation. The sound space Erek creates, the one we can inhabit and interpret, is not simply the acoustic space of an architectural intervention. Both sound and architecture are primary sources of meaning, are primary features of his work. No hierarchy between the two of them. Why is he using the term ornamentation?
First, because of totally curiosity of this idea, to have, imagine a facade, an architectural space ornamented with sound. Just sheer curiosity and joy. So normally it shall be enough to explain an artist doing something with his curiosity. And imagine that he could talk about this with others, which is what we're doing at the moment. But at the same time, it's a problem also. I'm proposing a problem. If I would not be an artist, if I would be an architectural theorist or contemporary music teacher or whatever, I would ask a question to my students. If you would decorate a building with sounds, what you would do? I'm answering that. So I'm experimenting. And I just read these phrases just 4 days before. In that sense, no fear. So I can learn by discussing with you. But to go back, to repeat myself, it's just because of curiosity, because I'm coming from an education and a perspective on architecture, and you can spend 10 lives working on this. And I decided, it's been some time ago, that I want to spend my life working with this. So here, but not only for my curiosity, of course. Speech is quite important to say something. I had to say that even though I have chances to write, print things, have press releases with the Turkish Pavilion, that's the first and last time I'm doing a work in the Turkish Pavilion. That's the first time and the last time I'm doing the Turkish Pavilion in such a time of Turkey. Speechless work, only abstract, even in my sense that I love working, that wouldn't work. Because I'm also, as you see, I'm a talkative person. You know what I mean? So, speech, why ornamentation? Because of curiosity first, then to discuss about problems. But then also use it as a place to give message, because a facade above in a building tells you something of the ruler, of the holy voice, of the whatever, or a graffiti. Look, a platform. A place is divided. If you divide the place, then you have a plane or a face, a facha. And then a facha has some things, holes, input, output, whatever. Then you make a makeup on that facade decoration. We all do makeup. We men, we shave. You do something else. And years ago, an Austrian, Adolf Loos, wrote about ornamentation is a crime. It already became a big problem of the modern architecture. So why not talk about that? And why not talk, say, a word like, to finish this phrase, why not having a word like zangtumtum, drummer in the battlefield scene, a momentary hesitation in her hand, the drummer, made the war end. Why not say, made the war end in our facade, a wish, an imagination? Yeah, as I said, this is the first and last time of the Turkish Pavilion for myself. I hope I can get free of this without big damage. So then I can go back to more extremes or more isolations. But in such a time of Turkey, if I wouldn't be connecting to these issues of passage between countries or blocking a public space, then come on. I hope that the least, that I could do the least. As you see, I'm not a minimalist living in Zurich and making kind of some minimal exit. I'm in Istanbul and I have connection with people, and some of them are with the fear of these fences. Not the stadium ones, but prison, jail. I'm teaching in a university and you know this problem. So how can you talk less, how can you connect less to these issues in the pavilion of a country? It doesn't matter, Turkey or whatever. That's, I think, the context also. Otherwise, you just make a site-specific thing with the architecture, or that's the context. The context is the pavilion.
RadioPapesse.org